Welcome to Harmony Primitive Baptist Church.
Thankful for the opportunity to be here today, especially and with you this afternoon. And I especially have enjoyed what's been said thus far already, and hope to be mindful of the time equally so myself. But either way, good, bad, or indifferent, I'll be the one that you remember that kept you the longest this afternoon. Or at least the last, anyway. Well, I told myself and the Lord, and I think it's okay for me to say that. Seems the older I get, there's more things that I think it's okay for me to say. And, of course, my opinion is good as yours, so if you want to be wrong, you can be. So I think it's all right for me to say that if asked to speak at all, I had several things that I was on my mind, and given the light of the day and the ordination service and another forthcoming, I've been thinking on lots of things lately, but if opportunity presented itself, I'd try to limit myself to about three passages of Scripture that have meant a lot to me over, I can't hardly believe saying this, but a little over some 30 years of trying to do this myself. Can't help but think in the service this morning, and especially during the prayer. I remember the day that I knelt and the brethren gathered around me. I thought I had some idea of what I was about to get into until their hands came upon me and I felt another hand. And before the old brother said amen, I felt like I was going through the floor. And haven't learned how to shoulder that weight very well since that day. It was brought back very vividly to me again this morning. And in the light of that, over the years, I think I've learned a few things. I don't profess still to know a whole lot of things, but there's a few things I would try to pass on, the things that have meant a great deal to me. And Brother Dan, I do that this afternoon. And to the church again, I appreciated the line of thinking of Brother Sunday this morning and the charge to the church as well as to the brother. We all need to be reminded. So in saying these things, I want to again refresh your memories as well as his and mine as I bring these things up. A lot of things I'd like to say. One of them that I wasn't going to mention is it goes without saying, but I'm going to say it anyway. Is that the Apostle Paul did instruct the young man Timothy, his son in the ministry. And that's one of the ways that I try to think about it a whole lot more and more the older that I get. I try to put my name in the places of these others in Scripture and see what God would be saying to me and what the apostles would be saying to me and how they fit me personally. But study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Well, my goodness, I could say a lot about that one. We're to study. I remember hearing a preacher say one time, Brother Fred has shared some experiences with me, but I remember another elder from down in the state of Louisiana saying one time, I know that I'm instructed by that myself in the ministry to study, to show myself approved, and I take notice of that is my approval is to come from God. You won't necessarily, if maybe hardly ever, get the approval of everybody that's listening to you. You have an audience of one that you're to seek the approval of, and that's God. So seek His approval in everything that you do, and be a workman at it. It's not a part-time deal. It's not a once-a-week deal. It's not a twice-a-week deal. It's not even a three-time-a-week deal, or, Lord help us, a 12-time-out-of-a-year deal. You're a workman. You haven't been called to a vacation, but a vocation. So study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And I used to hear the brethren say in years past and gone about dividing this, but you might know where I'm going with that, but let me quickly say there are no errors in the word. You're not dividing error from truth. Not when you're talking about God's word. And the older that I'm getting, the more definition of terms fascinate me. And how the Bible says what it means and means what it says. Now, I've heard that, but if you're going to say what it means, you've got to know what it says. And words have meanings. And the meanings of words fascinate me. Now, I've heard the illustration of talking about this, that rightly dividing means to cut straight. You can go with that if you want to. But there's another definition of dividing that means to disperse. It means to hand out. It means to proportion it. And if you're a workman that is approved of God and you are rightly dispersing His word, that's where the approval comes, is that you're handing it out as it should be. I mentioned some feller told me one time that you don't give one old cow the whole bale. You have to give them a little bit here and a little bit there. Now, that's what Isaiah picked up on, where the Lord told him there that to whom shall I teach doctrine? To them that are weaned from the breast, for a precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. It comes a little bit at a time. You got to know how to disperse it out. You need to learn how to talk to the little ones in the house. I think one of the best pieces of advice I was ever given by an older elder years ago is that if you'll learn to talk so that the kids understand you, the rest of them ought to be smart enough to get it. I hope that don't offend anybody, because we're all called children. But as I thought about all of this and that, I think about these other three that particularly have meant something to me, that have helped me, freed me up. The first one that comes to mind as I began to think about these is 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. I remember several years ago reading this one, and the importance of it is that so it seemed hit me like a ton of bricks. As the Apostle Paul says there, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. Paul says there that we have been allowed of God. There again, the meaning of that word doesn't mean, as we might use it flippantly in our way of using it nowadays, of just saying that, what do you allow? Well, I allow far too much most of the time. The problem with that is that I'll just look the other way and ignore stuff and it goes away. That's not what the word allow there means. The word allow there means to be tested, to be tried. If you are allowed, you have been tried and judged to be worthy of. That's pretty important. If we consider that in the ministry, if you consider that in the church, that you have been tested, you've been tried, you've been approved of God to be entrusted. Now, the word entrust means to have something of great value placed in your possession, in your care, and in your keeping. And I like to illustrate it this way. There have been a few times in my past when the wife and I went out somewhere. I don't know anything about these date nights too much and every day. We still need to have a whole lot more of them, by the way. And she ought to have said amen. She had her chance. She's actually with me today, and when she got the chance, she won't even do it. But to be entrusted on those few times we did, we left our kids when they were smaller. You see what happened to them. We turned our kids over to somebody else and left them with babysitters. What we were doing was is that we were entrusting our children to somebody else's care and keeping. And this might shock some, but I expected when I came back to pick them up later on to find them in just as good a shape as they were when I left them. It may be, if not better, because I kind of expected them to be fed. I expected them to be well clothed. Maybe their bath and shower done and them ready to go to bed so we didn't have to worry about it when we got back. So we could just pick them up and carry them right off to bed and then right down. I expected them to be in equal shape of when I committed them to them, if not better. In other words, I entrusted the ones that I placed them in the charge of to take care as I would. Do you understand what I'm saying? Nod your heads. Y'all can do this down here in Donaldson. I've been here before. There you go. That's better. Even on a Saturday afternoon, can you believe it? And you say amen, too, if you hear anything worth saying. But as we were, think about this, church. Think about this, ministry. Think about this, brethren. Be reminded of this. As we have been tried and found worthy of God to have committed to us the gospel. Wow. The message of God's Son. Not the potential or even the probability of salvation, but the actuality of the facts of how God saves His people, and He did so through by the finished work of His own Son, whom He sent into this world to die in our place for our sin, and how He accomplished that and went back to heaven saying it's finished. And the declaration of that to God's people who are looking for that peace, for that satisfaction, for that understanding in this world, to have committed of God, for God to say that you're worthy of me giving this message into your trust because I know you'll do with it what I expect to be done with it. So even so, we polish it up and hold it in a shelf so we can brag about it every once in a while. I've seen if you're paying attention. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak. We speak. Did you know that the gospel is not passed one to another by mental telepathy? Y'all will all be saying amen right now. I don't have that power. The gospel is not yours by osmosis. You can sleep on this book. It doesn't make a good pillar. It'll give you a kink in your neck to try it. I have. But you don't learn what's in this book by sleeping on it. Well, let's sleep on it. Well, how's it working for you? You got to read it. You got to apply it. And you don't proclaim the gospel by the proper look. Have you ever wondered? Have you ever wondered? Have you wondered? Being salt and light, being, and it representing God's word in this. And I see it. Have you ever wondered? Do you know of anybody, if you've ever seen that, you see them walking down the street down here, you know, say, well, folks ask you, you're a Christian. But have you ever tried this? You see a fellow walking down the street down there? Now, I'm going to tell you what. Now, right China goes a fellow that believes in predestination. I can tell by looking at him. Huh? You know, do you know how people know what you believe? It's because you told them. I have never had, now I've had a lot of people do this to me. I have never had one as yet, and even some of you. I've never had any of you walk up to me and say, well, I know exactly what you believe. And I'm like, well, I'm all ears. What is it that I believe? I've never had one yet tell me exactly what I believe. I used to have to say, well, I've read about you on the internet. Good Lord, have mercy. Well, they can read about me on the internet now, and it'll actually be some of the things that I've wrote. Now, I'll take that, but don't give me that other stuff. You know the best way to find out what I believe? Is you ask me. And I'll tell you. And God gave us the gospel. God allows us to be entrusted with the gospel so that we would speak it not as pleasing men. And I'm saying this in love, smiling. Not as pleasing men. That's a shocking statement. The gospel does not always please those that hear it. And in fact, it's even more shocking to read the gospel and understand the word of God in the way that the Lord taught himself, that there were times that he spoke deliberately so people would not understand him. Lest they hear, lest they understand, lest they repent, lest they be converted, and I should heal them and they should be saved. Now that's a shocking statement, ain't it? The Lord says, I'm talking deliberately so the multitudes will not hear me. I am not going to save them. I am not going to heal them. Oh, we don't like that. Sorry about that. That's what the Word says. That's what the Lord said in red writing. But God has entrusted us. Are you starting to get the importance of this? God has deemed us worthy to commit to us the story of His Son. To speak it to others. And not trying to win friends and influence people. I failed that course too. Young Dale don't see me. I said that one time, Brother Hewlin Bass. Brother Hewlin, I failed the Dale Carnegie course. He said, Brother, I took it and passed it. I can believe that. Okay. All right. But God's entrusted us with something that we would say equally important to us as we would as dropping off our children to be taken care of. God views the gospel of His Son with that kind of care and importance, and He has entrusted that news, that message, that gospel to us, to speak to others, to bear to others, to dispense it out to those that need it in proper proportions, at proper times, on different levels, and in every season, in season, out of season, all times, every way, same message, knowing how to deliver it out in such a way, not trying to please those that hear it, but pleasing God, the one that tries our hearts. He's the one that gave it to us. Do you get it? And I might throw this one in here for no extra charge. To whom much is given, much is required. That has eaten my lunch. From the first time I really tried to understand and start reading the Bible, to whom much is given, much is required. Now, if you don't think God's gave you much, I don't guess you feel very moved by that. But I know what it means to be. I know what the gospel of Jesus Christ means to me. It's priceless. It is priceless. And over the years, one of the others that I would pass on to Brother Dan and to you here in the church, and even every one of you, like you said, well, I'm not a preacher. Well, he is now. If he wouldn't, and, but by the way, if he wasn't already one already, putting that title on him don't make him one. You were saying today that you already knew he could. I used to ask people, well, how you know you called to preach? How you know you called to preach? How you know you called to preach? And I'd ask all these older preachers, well, you'll figure it out one of these days. Well, I'm 30-something years into this now, and I'm still trying. How you know you preach? I think maybe one of the best is that how you know if a man's called to preach? He will. He will. I think the little wording there in 1 Timothy chapter 3 that separates the men from the boys, so to speak, three words. Makes all the difference. Apt to teach. That doesn't just mean they have the capability of it. That means they're adapt to it. That means you give them a halfway, sideways glance, a second, a thought that you might be interested in something they got to say. Well, get ready. It's sort of like another preacher. Bless his good thought and memory right now that I understand is not doing too well. It's sort of like him saying, let me tell you a question. Y'all know who I'm talking about? Let me tell you about a hole with a knot in it. It's kind of like asking him what time it is. You ain't got that long. Because he's fixing to build you a watch. The man's apt to teach. I know what time it is better than y'all do because I'm watching. What I got to tell you this one on him. Let me tell you the other text. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 12. But if there first be a willing mind, it's accepted according to what a man hath, not according to that he hath not. Now, I know the context of that's money. I said that in the church. The context of that's taking up a collection. It's all about money. But the principle of it is this, and this freed me up. This freed me up years ago. I don't know if it's made me any better, but it sure did take a world of load off of me. If there first be a willing mind, it's accepted of you according to what you have, not according to what you don't have. The principle of that of it is, I don't have to be anybody else.
Amen.
I don't have to. And preachers, we try this, don't we?
Yeah.
Don't say amen.
Yeah.
We got favorite preachers too. And we wanted to sound like them. We take on their mannerisms. And we take on their different ways of doing things. We clear our throat when they did. We stand just right. We hold our hands just right. We make the gestures with the hands like everybody else because we want to fit in and be like, I don't have to be like anybody else. I tried to tell my son that already. God didn't call another Carl Staten. Praise the Lord. Watch it. Yeah, see there? Good friends and brethren. With friends like this.
Yeah.
I love my brethren. And they love me too. See, that's the thing that gets me. They've made me believe it. I've had some of them oxen bowing occasions myself along the years. And we do need each other. But if I'm willing to use what God's gave me, see, my only problem is for me to figure out what I've got. If I'm willing to use what God gave me, He'll accept that of me. Because He's going to give it to me. And it's not what I don't have. I don't have to run and go get it from somebody else. I'm telling you, neither do you. Well, I'm not a preacher. You don't have to be. Well, I'm not a deacon. You don't have to be. Well, I can't pray like so-and-so. You don't have to. I can't sing like so-and-so. You don't have to. Well, I haven't been in the church as long as I don't have to. You're here. If you're willing to use what God's gave you, God will accept that of you. He can't accept it from anybody else. God will take that from you and say, well done. Well done. Now, I don't forget what I was fixing to tell you, so I'll just move on. So in line of all of this, God's entrusted us with the gospel. Does this make any sense?
Sure.
I got it open to this one because I wanted to read it all. God's entrusted us with the gospel. And if we're willing to use what He's given us, He'll accept that. And now to Brother Nan, put your name here, brother. And to the rest of you, hear this one, because this is the last one, and I'm done. This one is from Paul's writing to Timothy, 1 Timothy, chapter 6, as he's winding up the very last two verses. Listen to this. I read this, and it just kind of melts my butter every time I read it. Verse 20, 6:20. He says, O Timothy, now, this is Dad writing his son from prison. He's going out. This is the old preacher writing the young preacher. I can't help but think about one that used to sit right yonder. And he'd always tell me afterward, well... Now, Brother Carl, I agree with you in principle, but I knew what the but meant. That's where we were headed. It's the but that bothered me. And y'all know who I'm talking about. But this is the old preacher fading off the scene. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. It's your turn, son. We've been tested and tried and allowed of God to be given the gospel. And if you're willing to use that, God will say, well done. Oh, Timothy, keep that is committed to thy trust. God has given you something of high value. It's the message of the greatest gift that was ever given. And that was His Son. And if God's given us the best that He had, what do you think He's holding back now? Nothing. This is a now gospel. This is not a was gospel or still yet coming gospel. This is that makes the difference right now. Now. O Timothy, keep that as committed to thy trust. Avoid profane and vain babblings. Y'all don't know anything about them. I'm afraid I do. And oppositions of science, falsely so called. Now, that doesn't mean you opposing science. This means that there's going to be some profane. I mean, just some downright ungodly things that's going to be come your direction. You just got to avoid that. Get your sign and march in the streets. No, avoid it. Let it alone. Stay away from it. Don't be a part of it. Don't answer that fool according to his folly. Don't be like him. But keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding, it's ongoing evidently, profane and vain babbling. They're going to be some things that you're going to be asked, it's going to be brought up to you. Some of it's going to be downright ungodly, it's going to irritate you to the last nerve that you've got. And there's going to be some of it that is pure day foolishness. Do y'all understand pure day? Just pure day, vain, empty, absolute ignorance. Did Adam have a navel? Who cares? Who cares? Well, that's where God broke him off the tree. He didn't come off a tree. Now, y'all are laughing, but I'm going to tell you, preachers hear stuff like this. And you do too. Absolutely ridiculous. You think somebody's fixing to ask you one of those long, thought out, weighty, wise questions? And I don't want to ask the dumb question. And I used to try to be nice about that and say, well, there are no dumb questions. Well, according to Scripture, evidently there are. There's some of them that are dumb. They don't deserve answers. Timothy, Brother Dan, John, brethren, let that stuff alone. Just let it alone. Just... And oppositions of science, falsely so-called, that doesn't mean you're opposing science. That means there's going to be things that are presented to you as the weighty knowledge of this world and thought out by the science of this world. We're eat up with it nowadays. And science stands in opposition of what you're saying, preacher, in this thing called God. Avoid that. Avoid that. Let me just pass this on as I'm just about done. I've had some over the years that tried to convince me that I need to spend my time studying more and more and more science so that I could be able to answer the naysayers of all that. I'm not smart enough for that, so let me just go ahead and admit you that. If you want me to do that, I can give you references to some of our brethren that are, and I can suggest some good books to you. I suggest 66 to you right here. See, I got to figure out what I've got and how to use what I've got. I don't have the capacity to remember all of that kind of stuff. I still struggle with trying to remember all of this that's in this book, and I hadn't got there yet. And I've asked God to make me a skillful player on the strings of the best music that ever was. I'm envious of guitar players. They make me sick to watch them. They make it look so easy. All I can do is make a racket. I've asked God to make me a skillful player of this. And it make it make sense. And you're the judges of that. But there are going to be things that are going to be presented to you that's weighty in the world's mind that pull more weight, their science and their things of knowledge, and they oppose this that's been committed to you. And you're a fool for believing this God stuff. Timothy, let it alone. God's chosen the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Preach the word. Preach the word. Don't change the way. Which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Do you know that this kind of stuff even gets in the church? Do you know this kind of stuff gets in the ministry? And we want to sound impressive. And we want to be liked. We don't want anybody saying that, oh Lord, there's that brother Staten. We know he's going to take too long. And all he's going to do is wear us out on a Saturday afternoon. But I fooled you because I'm done. But I hope what I've said has made a little bit of sense. Brother, brethren, sistren, God has committed to us a valuable commodity. And it's not us that placed the value on it. It was God Himself. And it's the word of the finished work of His Son. It's how God saves His people. It's called the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's in this inerrant, uncontradictable, inspired record of God's holy writ. And God has committed this to us. I value this book above everything else on the face of this earth that I could hold in my hand. But what I understand of it in my heart and mind, I value even more. He's committed that to my trust, and I'm glad maybe for just a few minutes to pass this on, to share it, to speak it to you. I hope that it's pleased your heart, but I'm seeking to please God, because He's the one that gave it to me. He's the one that ransomed me from Egypt. He's the one that saved my soul. He's the one that holds me tight and when nobody else can get to me. He's the one I'm expecting to see some morning, afternoon, midday, or whenever it is, pitch black, dark, or straight up noon, when He says, Carl, come home. And I'm not going to sing, wait a little longer, please, Jesus. I'm going to say, yes, Lord. And right now today, I want to know, Lord, what would You have me do? And it's to be found to work right, dividing His truth. And may I commit to You and ask You to see it. Keep that is committed to Your trust. And that don't mean put it in the bottle and save it. That means guard it, protect it, and use it for its intended purpose. Share Christ with everyone you meet. Thank you very much.
Thank you for visiting Harmony Primitive Baptist Church.